So grateful for all your prayers. And many of you don't know that I spent about 3 days in the hospital this week with, I just spent about 3 days in the hospital. There's no need to go into the details because they're not good. It's never good when you're in the hospital, but I'm okay and going to be all right and everything's good and God is good. And I feel a little strong today. I got to hear Keith Urban. He came in town for my birthday Friday night. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. Everybody's wondering why you just showed up for a concert. And I said, I know why. Everybody around me, I was like, he's here for my birthday. And he even said at one point, he said, anybody got a birthday today? And everybody around me was like, this guy does. He does. And then last night, my wife, last December 2nd, Liz, or December 6th, Liz gets online for some reason on December 6th and finds that Styx and Foreigner are going to be in Huntsville on the day after my birthday, and bought tickets that day. Little did I know I was going to be in the hospital that week. And all week long, I'm thinking, Lord, I want to be at church Sunday so bad, so bad. But I'd really like to go see that concert Saturday night too. I'm just glad he answered this prayer for sure. I'm not sure that Styx and Foreigner is all about anything about that, but I can half hear more than I could, less than I could half hear before. It was really loud, but it was a great concert and a good time and brought back a lot of memories. And some songs I thought, I didn't know that word was in there. Anyway, I just, you know, if you guys are from the 80s or 70s, 80s kind of era of music, then you know that some of the stuff you can't go back and listen to anymore. I mean, it's like that, I shouldn't be listening to that. But anyway, welcome to all of our guests. Can we welcome our guests? We are so glad you're here. It is so good to be back and be able to say that again. Can I just say thank you also? Let's welcome our online church first. We love you guys. Glad you're here. If you're new with us and haven't done so, please fill out a connection card. They're in the chair right in front of you. Or if you're on the back row, they're behind you. If you're on the front row, they're behind you. If you're on the back row, you got a row in front of you. I've lost it. Okay. So anyway, but do connect with us. We want to connect with you. And it's literally just about that. It's not about us trying to do anything or getting your business or whatever, but we really want to. And you're really why we exist. If you're new today and you're here for the first time, then you are actually helping fulfill our mission in our church, which is to fill an empty seat. And if you're here to do that today, and you didn't know it, you're like, wait a minute, oh, I'm here to fulfill a mission. It goes further than that, because we're here to look for three different kinds of people. That empty seat we want to fill with people who do not believe in Jesus. If that's you today, you're going to have an opportunity to trust him at the end of this message today. And you don't have to wait till the end, by the way. You can go ahead and trust him now, okay? It's not about this message or anything like that, but you're going to have that opportunity. We're also looking for people who have been disenfranchised. Anybody ever been hurt by church people? See, that's kind of our own fault because we are all church people. If you're here today to escape from another church that hurt you, guess what? This church is full of people. And we will hurt you, but here's what we want you to understand. We will hurt you. That's a terrible way to say that. We seriously want people who have gone to places, and I've been there, and seen those kinds of Christians. When people tell you they hate Christianity, they don't hate Christianity. You know what they hate. They hate about what they've seen in Christianity. And so we're trying everything with everything in us to be different from that. And literally, it's we have humans here, so I'm one of them, and we will sometimes mess you up. And then we're looking for people who believe in Christ, who are looking for life. Have you ever been to a place, man, you just felt like when you walked in, the lights went off, and you just, and it was like, I'm not talking about physically lights, but the whole, everything was like, what are these people happy about? There's no joy here. There's no happiness. There's no joy in what they're doing. And we literally want to turn that around and not be that way. I've always wanted to be a part of a church of people who want to come to church. And I grew up not wanting to go to church. I went because I was made to. But and I'm glad, by the way, I'm very glad my mom stuck to that, okay? I'm not begrudging that at all. I'm glad she made us memorize scripture. I'm glad we went to a church that talked about the Bible and studied the Bible and all those things, but it never spoke to me. And we want to be a place to, as I say never, probably because I wasn't listening well, but I will say that. So get that out of the way. But I want you to understand we're here for you. We want you to find a relationship with Christ and get some freedom from your past. Anybody got a past they need to get rid of? Come on, y'all. You got some of that? We want to help you find that. We want to help you to walk in purpose every day and to make an impact on the world. That's literally why we exist as a church. I couldn't go any further. I've already gone too far, I guess, before I did this. But I want to thank Philip last week and Micah the week before. Man, those guys just come in here. And what's really cool, I had five guys call me and say, hey, if you need me to fill in, man, if you need me to help, if you need me whatever, September 1st, I'm going to be away in Huntsville speaking at a church, and Brendan Walker is going to speak that day. So I'm really excited about it for you guys for that, and to be able to hear the message. I know he's praying about it and thinking through that. And so we're finishing up a series in 1 Peter next week. It's supposed to have already been done, but I haven't been around to finish it. And some of these guys wanted, like Micah stepped off into Peter and just took that passage, man, and just did so much with it. And then I just told Philip last week, it was kind of a short notice on Philip, man. He didn't know it till like Friday. And I said, you just do what you want to do, man. But what he said last week about suffering and about shepherding and all those things, it's just amazing. It's almost like God's leading this, okay? And it's almost like God knows what he's doing, all right? So it just connects so well with what we're doing today. And so I'm going to walk through this passage with you today. We're in 1 Peter chapter 5. You can turn there in your Bible if you'd like to. It'll be on screen. Also, if you came in this morning, you were handed by our amazing, awesome, wonderful hospitality team. They do a great job. And they're handing out worship guides this morning, and you should have some sermon notes in there you can walk through. The notes are back today, and I'm glad to be able to do that. And so Peter begins this section with a therefore, and Micah pointed it out. When you see a therefore or a so and comma or whatever, you want to see what it's there for, right? And so you have to go back a little bit to be able to catch up what we're doing. I want you to understand that 1 Peter is really about suffering and about who is your authority. Who's your over? Corey's an umpire. When he walks on the field, he is the authority on that field. You like him or not, and a lot of people don't, and some people do. You know how it is, brother, right? We don't know. We called some games together, and you walk on there, you're the authority on that field in that moment. And I'm telling you, I've seen umpires who didn't take authority, and people ran over them because they weren't an authority. They were a figurehead with a uniform on. When it comes to God, you want God to be the authority in your life. That means if he's Lord, then everything else has to take a back seat to that. And if it doesn't take a back seat to that, then he's not Lord. So come on, y'all, we got to make him first. And that's what this whole book is about. But the passage before this ends this way, and Micah ended it a couple weeks ago. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful creator. And I love how he pointed out this is the only time in the New Testament this particular word for creator in the Greek is used. And we tend to look at Peter sometimes as a guy who's not very smart because he was called an unlearned and ignorant man in the King James Version. But he was very smart. He knew Greek. He knew Hebrew. I mean, this guy, he studied his life through. And when he writes his books, his words there for purpose. And this idea here is that suffering is coming. And you're living under the authority of Christ and the authority of God. Then you continue to do good in the suffering. And sometimes you can read the Bible, and because we divided it up in chapters and verses, you get to chapter 5, verse 1, and you go, oh, this is a whole new topic. He's going to talk about elders. And he's really not. He doesn't change the topic. He's simply giving an illustration for how that we ought to live under the authority of Christ. And so I'll get to the passage in just a second. But when he does this idea of talking to elders and talking to young men, he's thinking still in the context of writing about suffering for Christ. And one commentator actually said that it's because of suffering and persecution that they had a great need for pastoral leadership. And listen, here, I'm not just the pastor. I'm the lead pastor, we call it. I didn't do senior pastor because that makes me sound really old. And so I just said, I'm the lead pastor and I lead the vision of the church. But listen, we pastor our church through what we're starting really today. You can sign up for today is through small groups. And we want you to join a small group today because there are people in those small groups who will help lead you and guide you in ways you couldn't possibly understand. And I'm telling you, if you haven't signed up for a small group yet, well, you haven't been able to till today, you'll be able to start today. We'll sign up today and next week. Please, please sign up for that so that you can be shepherded the very best you possibly can be here. But we need leaders. And leaders, everybody say leadership is influence. Everybody say that. Leadership is influence and nothing more. There's nothing more. Because I'm a leader doesn't mean I'm over or under anybody. It simply means that I'm an influencer. In fact, my disc profile is an IS. I'm an influencing steady. And so that whole concept is that God put me here to influence. But guess what? He put you here for it as well. Everybody in this room has influence. You may not have the sphere of influence that others have. I mean, I look at Pastor Chris Hodges, and his sphere of influence literally is a world sphere. He's all over the world in leadership. I don't have that sphere, but I do have my sphere. And your sphere may be your children at home. It could be your spouse. It could be your best friend. It could be your school. Wherever it is, it could be your small group, your sphere of influence. Wow. Okay, it's not a smear, it's a sphere. You're close people there. You're put there to do something. You're not just put there to kind of be a figurehead. In fact, leadership was never put in the church to be figureheads. Religion did that. Religion made the elders that I grew up with, as some of them almost treated themselves as though they were like little demigods. And I've seen that in churches, and other churches make it even bigger than that. And there's a lot of pomp and circumstance around leadership. And listen, we ought to honor our leaders. The Bible says give them honor. We want to do that, but I want you to understand it's not big I, little you. It's not you're up here and your followers are here. I don't want followers. I want leaders who lead leaders who lead leaders who lead leaders to follow Christ. Y'all hear that? Is that making any sense at all to you guys today? If I've lost communication skills, you need to say, I don't get it. I don't know what you're talking about. But I want you to understand that your job and my job as a leader in Ephesians 4 says we are to equip the people to do his work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. We're not to do all of the work. It doesn't mean we don't work. It just means as leaders, as influencers, you don't set up your small group and go, okay, well, I'm the leader. I'll tell you all what to do, and I'll do it all. No, you don't. You teach them how to do and to be and to move. In fact, every group needs a co-leader, so the co-leader can lead a group next time. And our groups keep growing because Montana and Caleb are pushing and pushing this idea of co-leadership, and we need to keep doing that. Why? Because we want people to serve. If you come here, this is not a place for you to come and ride a pew. We don't have pews. You couldn't do that. It's not a place for you to come and ride a chair. You don't fill the empty seat just so you can fill an empty seat. You're here to serve. You're here to serve. If you're part of another church somewhere, go back there and serve. Go back there and be who God called you to be. And if you don't know who that is, we'll help you find it and send you back over there so you can do what you got to do. We'll do whatever we can, short of sin, to help you understand that you have influence for Christ. And that's going to bring suffering. You're going to need more leadership in your life. If it weren't for leadership in my life today, I could not be standing here right now. I could not be standing here right now. And I say that because immediately, this morning, first thing, I get spiritual warfare. It's spiritual warfare. It's an attack. It's an attack. And I didn't recognize it. And I let it get up in my face. And then I start rethinking everything. Why don't we do this? Why don't we put ourselves through this thing where we go, oh, man, I'm just a spiritual. I'm just this. You know that song we used to sing? I'm just a spiritual worm. Of such a worm am I. And you say, well, I never sung that song in church. Well, you didn't go to my church because we sang it all the time. You know, we were told you're just a worm in God's sight. You're just this little nobody in God's sight. No, you're not. You're God's son, you're God's daughter. You're redeemed. You're called. You're meant to do something bigger than you are, and you can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. Come and join us. Come to step 3 today at Impact at 5:00 and join the team. Some of you have never joined a team in our church. And you're missing out because you're missing out a part where you can come and be a blessing to other people. And that's really what we want. We're not asking you to come to our church and do what we do. We're asking you to come here if you want to and be a part of the greater kingdom and let God use you to do what he's called you to do, wherever that is. That's a whole different mindset than I grew up in. This is the idea so I'm going to get into the text now. I'm watching the clock, I promise. Okay, I'm going to work myself to death to get through this whole thing. But real quick, we're going to read the chapter, the text, and I want to get to what I think the point of the text is. Here's the text. Therefore, a word to you who are elders in churches. I too am an elder, Peter said, and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. I love how you put that. Oh, I'm also a witness to the sufferings of Christ. I saw it happen. I was there. Oh, I denied him, and I ran away like the rest of them. And I was scared. I didn't know what to do, but I saw his sufferings. Before he was crucified, I saw them suffer. Try to stone him a few times. I love how the chosen child kind of puts Peter out there. It's like, you ain't messing with Jesus. Anybody messing with Jesus? That ain't going to happen. I sensed that he was that way. He wanted to protect his Lord. And to see him suffer was tough. Say, I'm a witness. He said, and I too was sharing his glory, which is revealed to the whole world. Guys, can y'all not wait for that? I'm so ready for Jesus to come back and take us home. It's going to be so good, and we'll see that glory. As a fellow elder, he says, I appeal to you to care for the flock that God has entrusted in you. And that word care for is more than just feed. In fact, people see what I'm doing today as feeding you the word. If you want to sense that, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But I don't feed sheep. Shepherds don't feed sheep. Philip, the illustration last week rocked my world when I saw how the shepherd called out the sheep's voice and boom, they come right around it. You know why? It's because they trust him to take them to places where they can eat and they can drink freely and they can be who they're supposed to be. He don't feed them. He just takes them to places where they can eat. And that's really what we're all about. And I want to tell you something. Some of you are treating church like you want me to come feed you every Sunday. Here's your little one-hour thing, and here's your thing to get you through the week. If my preaching is all that's getting you through the week, you are in serious trouble. I'm just saying, you're in serious trouble. I'm pretty good, handsome to look at, but I ain't that good. I ain't that good. I always have to look back and see what Liz's reaction is to those things. I don't know what she's doing. For real, though. But you are to care. I care so much about you. We care for each other. He's saying, I want you to care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. You don't want to lead like this. Well, I guess I got to lead a small group. Montana needs another small group leader, so I guess I got to go do it. If that's your attitude, please delete your small group today and don't lead. I want you to want to. I want it to be a not grudging, but a willing thing. Not for what you're going to get out of it. Somebody says, well, I'm not going to get anything out of that. Well, maybe you meant to put something into it. Just go get it. Go do something into it. Do that. For years, we've treated teenagers like they were second-class Christians. I'm glad we don't do that here. Because they don't just come and kind of hang out and be teenagers. They're contributing to what's going on in this church. They're leading. They're shepherding each other. And to watch them hold their hands up in praise and prayer. If you're new and you're young, please come get a part of our group. It's incredible what they're doing. And so he says, don't lord it over the people. I love this. Don't lord it, he says, over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. We don't lord it, we lead it. And we do that by example mostly. And the reason I say that is there's some teaching involved with leadership, but really it's all about you live and you watch what I do and you do what I do. And that's what leadership really is. Parenting is just that. In fact, your kids will do what you do, like it or not. And when the word comes out of their mouth, they heard it from you first, probably. Maybe not. This stuff's everywhere. But he says, and when the great shepherd appears, you'll receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. Peter keeps reminding us that if you will lead and you will do what you're supposed to do. He's talking specifically here to shepherds in the church, but I'm trying to make it a very general thing because I see leadership as across the board, and I want you to understand that. And so this idea is you guys, when you lead one day all of your efforts and everything that you've done, it's going to come back. Maybe not here. You may not see it here in this world, but he's saying that there's a never-ending glory and honor. This is eternal thing. And then he says, in the same way, talking to you younger, he says, in the same way, what is in the same way? Same attitudes, same willingness, the same not leading, lording, but leading. He says to the young men, to the younger, accept the authority of the elders. How do you do that? First of all, young people, listen. Y'all listen to me. You see somebody with gray hair, you show some respect. I'm a little fed up with the way our culture is treating old people and trying to treat old people like they're just, again, second-class Christians. We have a lot of young people in our church and young leaders in our church, and we have a lot of people here, though. A lot of times we're missing and we're ignoring wisdom because we don't stop and say, hey, can you help me with this? The Bible says to respect the gray hair, to respect it, or in some cases the no hair, if that's you, whatever. But it's just to respect, to honor the wisdom. I know when Mike Hammond walks up to me and he says, hey, I need to tell you something. I know it's going to be wisdom because he's lived a lot of time. Didn't expect a reaction, but I do. Honor, when he comes up to me, he'll say something, just these one little one-liner things, and he'll just come up and say it and turn around and walk off. I love it. I love the wisdom. I need it. I need it. I need older people to lead me. If I don't have them in my life, whew, goodness. It's one reason I miss my daddy. I didn't buy anything without talking to him first. Big anyway, you know. It's just one of those things. You just miss that wisdom in your life. And he says, as you relate to one another for God's purposes, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And that is leading me into the point for the day. Because if you don't lead with humility and you don't follow with humility and you don't live your life with humility, you are in for a miserable life here in this world. People who lead and it's all about themselves and what they've done and their accomplishments and they downplay everything everybody else does, that is poor leadership. I don't care what level you want to call it. And so this whole idea is coming back to this. Humility equals trust, and that's why I titled the lesson that today. This is all about trusting in God. Paul is not giving rules for how elders ought to act, just to give rules for how elders ought to act in the church or how young people ought to act in church. It's not just about rules to do or not do whatever it is that God's called you to do in your life. It's about humbling yourself. For the older to teach the younger and to have that respect, sometimes we need to honor the younger more. And for the younger to get it from the older, they need to honor. All of that has to do with humility. You got to give up yourself. And I'm going to give you some trust phrases today, and hopefully these next few verses are very practical, and you can just chew on these. And the first one is that we have to trust in God's power. Everybody say, God's powerful. Now say it like he's powerful. God's powerful. Sometimes we do it. Well, God's just kind of powerful. He's power. Scripture says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. The reason I should not allow things to weigh me down and push me down and continually depress me and things especially that are out of my control. Why do I do that? Part of it's because I'm a control freak. And that's pride. So God, in some ways, is trying to humble me and let me know, hey, you need, it's all under my power. He goes right back to putting everything under the authority of Christ. When we're trying to win the argument, it's time to submit. When we are trying to look good in front of everybody else, it's time to submit. Because here's the deal, you can humble yourself or you can let God do it because it's going to come under his power. And I'd much rather not let him do it if I can help it. I remember when my mama humbled me a few times, and I wasn't paying attention real good or something like that, and I got humbled a few times. Yeah. And I didn't want her to do that, and so I didn't have to have it very much. Now, my brother wasn't that smart. Brother, I know you're listening. I love you, but he would just, man, bow up. He was a bow-upper, man. I love him. I miss him. I don't get to see him enough. You see, when you're trying to do it on your own, it's time to submit. When you're trying to do anything above what God has put you in this world to do, it's time to drop those things and submit to the power of God. Let his power work in you. And then the next, that was kind of easy because we know God's powerful and we can say, God, if you're that powerful, then it's kind of easy to kind of submit to what you're doing. The next one is to trust in God's timing. Trust in God's timing. Because he says, if you will submit, humble yourself in the mighty power of God, at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. And often I thwart God's plans for my life. Y'all need to hear this. Often I thwart, I mess up God's plan for my life because I'm trying to rush ahead of him to get to the things that I want him to do. And he never, ever seems to do things the way I want to when I want them done. And I don't understand that. And sometimes we buck against those things. God's timing is rarely my timing. We know from Abraham and Sarah in the Bible, when you rush God's timing, you mess things up. And they're one of many illustrations we could give. You see, can you just understand this for a moment? I wrote this sentence down in these notes, and I thought, this is very profound, but it's simple at the same time. This whole life is a waiting on God. I mean, if you really think about it, as a young person, it's hard to understand. It's hard to think, well, what do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you. Friday, I turned 60 years old. 60 years old. And I'm telling you, it got here fast. Faster than I could ever imagine. When I'm hearing Sticks do Renegade, the gig is up, the news out. Anyway, sorry. And I'm rocking out to that song. I'm thinking, it seems like 2 weeks ago I bought the Sticks cassette deck tape player and wore it out listening to that music. And I'm looking around the audience, y'all. It's hilarious. Liz and I were talking about this. There are no teenagers here. Everybody around us were old people. Y'all remember when in the 80s when you'd go to a concert in Huntsville over to Von Bond Civic Center and everybody was up or they were down, way down somewhere in the floor. It was just nutso stuff we should never have been a part of. Well, this was like this cool audience. They're just all, we all brought our chair, you know, our little chairs to set in, you know, and most of the time there's a lot of sitting down, and then a good song would come, we'd stand up, everybody gets our phone out and record the whole thing, you know, and all that. But it's just this whole different kind of vibe was going to, listen, you are going to get to 60 so fast that your head's going to swim, and you're going to remember me saying this today. And I'm not trying to discourage you, I'm trying to encourage you that even as a young person, you need to be focusing your life on nothing but Jesus Christ. And here's why. Because your life is going to be continually waiting on something. And it's always waiting on something. And it's always waiting on something. I wished I could tell you that what you're waiting on, you will get to see one day. But I can't promise you that. Nobody can. And you can believe in the American dream all you want to, and you can do all those things. You can do all it. Nothing wrong with any of that stuff in and of itself, but understand we're not put here to make money to pay the bills so we can have a big house and a nice car and just kind of ease on out of this thing in retirement one day. That's not why we're here. We're here to serve the Almighty King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's our purpose. And we're just waiting on Him to come home and get us and take us to be where He is. That's all we're doing. And in the process of waiting, in the process of anticipation, and y'all, we've lost anticipation. Read the New Testament. Paul thought Jesus was coming back in his lifetime. Peter thought it. In fact, the next book, he says God's not, he's not, he tries to go into some arguments about, in 2 Peter, he talks about how that some of you people are saying, where is this Jesus you're talking about? He's like, he's coming back. And well, God don't count time like we do. With God, you know, you've heard the old story with God, you know, like a million years is a second. You know, $1 million is a penny. And if you ask Him for a penny, He might say, wait a second. That's funnier to me than y'all. I'm trying to hurry the jokes up, so I don't have much more time. So here we go. So I'm going to skip the next verse there, Robert, and go to the next point, the last point, because here's the thing. We're waiting on God. And sometimes while the waiting is here, your trust wanes. The anxiety fills up in your heart. And I get it. I understand it. It happens to me. It happens to all of us. And I don't want it to do that. So we have to trust God with that anxiety. This is another hard point. It's another hard point. We are to give the worries to God. Worship team, you guys can come on up if you want to. This idea of not worrying. He says, give all your worries. Everybody say all. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't worry about anything. Oh, boy, that was a mull, right? Some of you said, I ain't lying in church. I might go out in the parking lot and say it, but I ain't saying it in here. I'm not lying up in here. I kind of tricked you on that, right? How many of us will be honest and say we're worried about something right now? We got something on our heart. So look across the room, y'all. Come on, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Be bold. Be bold. And I'm so glad you're honest about that. Yeah, Robert Thomas opens the back door and put his hand up. He and Tabitha are working in the hall today. God bless our children's ministry, by the way. God bless our kids. I'm not even going to go there today. So anyway, so the whole this idea of anxiety, we're worried about something all the time, it seems like. It's like if you don't have a worry, you're going into a worry. And if you're coming out of a worry, you're thinking, whew. Yeah, I'm telling you, in the hospital, I'm laying on my back over there, and I couldn't move. There were some times I could not get up out of the bed to go to the bathroom. I was hurting so bad. And I looked up at Liz and just tears. Just, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And it causes those moments where you're like, when is this going to be over? Now, coming out of it and being able to do some things this weekend and all those things, and really I wanted to do more. But coming out of it, it's like, man, it feels, I was kidding Brittany about her arm this morning. She got a wrist problem and had some surgery and my broke arm, whatever. And I said, that's going to feel a whole lot better when it quits hurting. It's kind of my way of lightening the mood. But it's true, isn't it? It's true. And I know I don't want to make light of your anxiety, but I also don't want you to carry it around when you don't have to. I don't want to do that when I don't have to. He says, you cast all your worries on God because God cares for you. Philippians 2:4, you guys that know your Bible know well, says, do not worry about what? Do not worry about what? Look at the board. Do not worry about what? Anything. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not worried about anything. You can't say it, can you? It's like, but he says, instead, pray about something. Don't just empty the worry out and not put something back in. Empty the worry out and give it to God. Come on, prayer team, this is a great time. That's your great cue for you. Y'all come on down front. Give it to God. Whatever is on your heart, give it to God, because the last point today is this. I'm going to skip a couple of things there, Robert. The last point is this. When you prayed about this and nothing's happening and you don't know what's going to happen next, that is so frustrating. And when you God says, you don't worry about anything. You pray about it, 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 and then you pray about it some more. And then you call the prayer team and they pray about it. And then thousands of people are praying about it. And they're all over the internet praying about it. And it still doesn't work. And you're just going, what am I going to do with this? And your friends that don't love God, they're saying, where is your God? Come on, you've been praying about this for years. Where is your God? And you begin to overplay these things in your mind about the doubts and the things. And you wonder, does God care? I love that old hymn. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Whew. He cares about you. You have to trust that God cares. Even in the midst of while you are waiting. Because it's true. Those of you who have wayward children, don't you care about them? Do they think you care about them? Sometimes they don't. But you care about them. Even when they don't think you do. And God is crying out, I want you to trust me because I care about you. No, his timing. I'm astounded at how many times that I think that God doesn't care. The psalmist even writes about it. The psalmist says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Peter didn't think he cared. Peter, who wrote these very words, said, I don't even know the man Jesus. I don't know who he is. And he denies him. It is the very thing that Jesus said he would do. Oh, Elijah on Mount Carmel. He just calls down fire from heaven and it licks up everything. The water and the dirt and the altar and all these things. That God just kicks a major rear in there and kill all the prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel said, I'm coming after you, big boy. And he goes and hides in a cave. I'm just the only one left. Ain't nobody but me. He becomes Eeyore after Mount Carmel. How do you do that? How do you do that? God says, you need to get up and get you something to eat and get on the road. And so this is not about you, it's about me. And then he runs him 40 miles. I don't want God to do that to me. Why do we think he doesn't care? Let me tell you why. Because right now you're hurting. And oftentimes hurt people lash out at God instead of reaching out to God. All I'm asking us to do today is to turn the hurt around and say, okay, God, I'm hurting. And I don't know where you are, and I don't know why you're saying no, and I don't understand it all, but I'm going to trust you, and you are God, and I am not. And I'm going to follow you no matter what. And while we are waiting on his timing, oftentimes we wonder, where is he? What's he doing? Why is he not? I'm just being honest. I want us to trust that he does and that he is. We can never, listen to this really good. The only reason is I trust in God is because he's the only thing I can depend on. When you take your last breath, you want an eternal God to be on the other side waiting and be ready to see him. And that's really all that matters. Will you stand to your feet this morning? In order to know that God cares for you in every circumstance, the first thing you need to do is have a relationship with him. I'm not talking about know God. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about knowing who he is in your life. Some of you don't trust him because you don't know him. Oh, you ask him into your heart. You got baptized one day. You accepted all those things, but you really didn't get to know him. That's why Jesus came to the world, so we could get to know God better. We saw him lived here. He comes and God becomes flesh and he wants a relationship with these people. And then when he leaves, he doesn't just leave us empty. He leaves us full with his presence. And I'm sorry, but none of you hold me up. I've had people tell me sometimes, Pastor, I'm sorry I let you down. Well, you're not holding me up. You can't let God down because you're not holding him up either. And he loves you so much that he wants to have a deep relationship with you. Can I revise what I just said? Many of you have held me up, like literally. That's why we have family. Some of you need to get some things settled in your past. That's one reason our prayer team is here today. You step out at any moment, right now, from right now on, and pray. Please, if there's something in your life you need to get free from, I'm asking you to be bold enough to step out. They're all around the room. You don't have to come down front. You can go back here in the back. There's men and women all around here. Men go to men, women go to women. Please don't miss an opportunity to pray. We do this every week. We're going to keep doing this every week because we want you to have the opportunity to be able to be touched by the love of Christ so you can get freedom from your past. Some of you don't have any purpose in your life, and I want you to have it. I want you to know what that is and be beyond a shadow of a doubt, know what that purpose is so that you can make an impact on the world. That's why we exist. That's our vision. The mission is the empty seat. The vision is those four things I just read to you. Please, don't leave here today without a relationship with Christ. How many of you be bold enough right now to say, I'm ready to accept Christ for the first time in my life? Anybody in the room? I'm ready to pray right now. We're not going to ask you to bow your head or anything like that. I would just be bold enough to say that I'm ready to serve Christ. Anybody? So I want to assume that no hands means everybody in here has a relationship started with Jesus. So the next question is this. How many of you be bold enough right now in front of all these people around you to say, I need prayers over a situation that's out of my control and I don't know what to do right now. Come on, anybody got a hand up? We got one right down here. Come on, get them up high. Let's go. I want to see you. Come on, y'all. It's out of your control. You have no idea what you're going to do. Now, I want to challenge you, if you have your hand up right now, that I'm going to pray over you, but I'm going to challenge you to go to a prayer warrior, get some one-on-one prayer, get somebody to, it's called touch, not physical touch, it's connection with somebody else. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes maybe you need to say to somebody, hey, I need to be the one confessing some sin. Anybody going to make a confession this morning? Anybody want to raise their hand and say, I need forgiveness for some sin in my life, and I need God to come into my life and heal me from it right now? Anybody want to be bold this morning? Raise their hand and say that. Anybody? Come on. Jacob. I love this boy. Love it when you can say to somebody, hey, I've been far from God, I want to be back. So God, I want to pray over all these who've raised their hand this morning, those who say they have issues in their life and things that are going on that are out of their control. God, right now I pray for a release. I pray, God, you will release into this room right now your Holy Spirit to come. God, your Holy Spirit to come and permeate my life and our life and help it be nothing more important right now in our life than to see what you're calling us to see, maybe get some vision for why my circumstances are what they are. Even if I don't get any vision for that, Lord, we're just going to trust you to come in and to give comfort and peace and to heal and to bless. Because God, you're all we have. You're all we have to trust in. We cannot trust in anything else. And God, over my brother Jacob, I pray, God, that you will help him to release what the things are in his life that he doesn't need in his life. The things that aren't right or that need to be a different way, God. Right now, I just want to pray that whatever it is he's crying out for this morning, he needs you, God. And so all the room collectively lift up the name of Jacob right now, God. Jacob, you are to be healed from whatever is in your life. In Jesus' name, we cry out for you right now, my brother. We love you. We pray for you. We honor you. We're glad you're here. Thank God for Trinity. Thank God for Trinity in his life. Thank God for her fortitude, her spiritual fortitude to lead when it was very difficult to lead. And God, I just pray for their relationship. I pray, God, that you just bring together whatever needs to be brought together there in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. One more opportunity. Is there anybody else that didn't raise their hand? I want to pray over you. I want to give you one more opportunity. You need prayer. I love you, man. Listen, we're having prayer services here every morning at 6 o'clock, and on Wednesday night we have one at 7 o'clock. Please come to any of them you want to come to. And we lay cards out all over the place up here. If you want to take one of those connection cards this morning and just write a prayer out on the back of it and come lay it on the stage, afterwards we'll pray over it every day. Our team, it's not a team, it's just all of us coming up here to pray. But we'll come up here and we'll pray over this, and we'll get them to the prayer team. We'll be praying over those things for you on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Man. Micah, you got a word of worship, man. Just go ahead. I just want to end with some worship. blessing, man, as you've been here today. Come on, can we give God just a hand clap of praise for today? Oh, man. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Come on, keep it going for the Lord. Come on, we love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you. We praise you. We praise you. It's what it's all about. It's what it's all about. Man, I'm so excited that we get to leave here today, just filled with the Holy Spirit and moving for Him. Y'all just, I'm so thankful God gave me the strength to stand up here today and do this. I'm so unworthy. I'm so unworthy, but He is so worthy, and I'm just so excited for it. I hope that you'll come back today at 5 if you have never done it and go through step 3 with us. If today's your first day here and you want to start with step 3, that's fine. You can get 1 and 2 next month. We'd love for you to come and meet the team. Leaders, please be here today about 5:30. Be ready for that. And small group leaders at 3:30. I'm just excited that you're here. If you don't know us well, please hang out with us a little bit. Meet somebody around you don't know. We love you and honor you. You're dismissed. Have a great Sunday, okay? God bless you.